I guess I did. I don't know how that happened, but maybe I guess moving, I don't know. So anyway, now I know what is this means. If you have your Bibles, it's more turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. And we've made our way through the Gospel of Luke. We've been talking about the new life that Jesus Christ gives when we give our life to Him. Jesus said that His primary job was to point us to the Father. He says, if you've known Me, you've known the Father that sent Me. But if you reject Me, you reject the Father that sent Me. One of the most important jobs of a father is to protect and provide for their children and their family. Fathers have an important role in the life of not only families, but society as well. A large part of the struggles that our society faces today is because of the absence of so many fathers. Children that are raised in fatherless homes are 10 times as more likely to commit crimes and end up being arrested, to drop out of school. And so while mothers are important, we're not diminishing mothers, and fathers aren't more important. Both are important. And we need to remember that, but also at the same time realize that in the world that we live in, there are so many fathers that are absent, and there's a lot of mothers who have to play double roles. And God bless them for... my mother was one of those brave and strong ladies that had to play the role of mom and dad. But God's design for the family, the way that He knew it would work best, was when there was a mother and a father raising children and raising them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's God's design. But sin has broken and shattered that like it has so many other things in our world. And there are far too many people that when they think of fathers, they don't have a good image. They don't have a good person to look up to. And if you do, you thank your lucky stars for that, and you let your dad know how much you appreciate them and love them. We as a church, we as a society need to do all we can to try to change those trends, to get things back to God's design. And that's why church is so important, that we don't raise children. It's not our job. But we're to support families, and we're to give families the tools. We need one another. And raising kids is hard. You know, it was hard way back in the dark ages when Bill raised his children. You know, they didn't have, they might have had electricity by then, Brother Bill. Now it's not any easier with technology and our society as it's advanced. It hadn't gotten any easier. But if anything, it's gotten more difficult. And that's just a reminder that it's the church and our faith and our fathers are so important. And they're special. But not only are fathers, but all of you are special. And part of the reason is what makes you special is you are created in the image of the ultimate good, good Father that we sang about just a moment ago. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12 this morning. It says, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, He began to say to His disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. What great reminders for us from Jesus. And it's kind of peculiar that there were so many. You remember that we talked last week about the lamp being the body and of the body and being authentic witnesses for Christ. And how that our lives should point others and people should be able to see Jesus in us. And after that message, after Jesus had pronounced that message of warning and judgment to the Pharisees and to the scribes, throngs of people gathered. In fact, there were so many people that they were trampling on one another. And so Luke tells us that Jesus took his disciples aside. And what he says is very telling. He says, beware of the Pharisees. Beware of those that look good on the outside, that you think they've got it all together. Because it's not about the outside, it's about the inside. And so he says, listen, the things that are done in secret are going to be known. Now, if that was true in the first century, you better believe it's true in the 21st century. In this society where we've got, 24-hour news cycles, and we've got Facebook and live streaming of all kinds of different things, more than one politician or has gotten into a lot of trouble, over the last several months, saying dumb things because they said it because they thought nobody was around listening to them. And then it comes to light. And so, oh, I didn't say that. Yeah, you did. It's on. But they said it in silence or said it in confidence. And so Jesus reminds us that, listen, there are some things that as a child of God, it's not about the outside. It's about the inside. But what's on the inside shows up on the outside. And so when you're saved and when God has changed you on the inside, eventually it's going to come flowing out of you. It's going to become evident. And it should become more and more and more evident as we walk with Christ and as we serve Him. And so this really is a message to his disciples about our Christian walk. And so I want us to talk a few minutes this morning about how we walk before this world as Christians, reminding them that, yes, God's people are special. But being special does not make us better than anybody else. It makes us forgiven. And even those that don't realize that they're special to God are special to God. and they're valuable to Him. So the first thing that we find is Jesus tells His disciples, listen, we have to walk in authenticity. People today can spot a fake from a mile away. If you are, you know, people, especially teenagers, you know, they're going to tell you, children, teenagers, they're going to tell you the truth. They don't have filters like old folk do. You know, they're not worried about protecting our feelings. They're probably going to shoot pretty straight. And if you're talking to somebody, whether they're a teenager or a kid or an adult, and you tell them to do something that you don't do, or tell them not to do something that you do, you might as well save your breath. And so Jesus talks about here in this chapter the importance of walking the talk to make sure that our Christian life measures up and that we don't have to be afraid of our deeds or our words coming into the light. We don't have to be afraid when, you know, somebody goes to the preacher and says, do you know what so-and-so said? Because if you really said it, then it should be something that is good and honorable. So he said, listen, if people that try to hide secrets or they try to do deeds in secret, it eventually comes to light. Most of this crowd grew up or was around, they were younger, but around in the time of Richard Nixon and Watergate. And the things that he did, he didn't do in with everybody's not. He did, you know, they stole and broke in at night when they thought nobody was going to be around. And he recorded things because he didn't think they'd get out. Well, now we have history. What happened? His deeds in the dark got found out, and the words that he thought he was talking in secret came to light. And it's not just, you know, back in recent history. We that happens all the time today. We ought to be the same on Sunday morning or when the preacher's around as we are on Friday night at the ball game. And if we're not, that's an indicator that there's a problem in our witness. I know a lot of folks that use the hypocrisy of Christians as an excuse not to come to church. And unfortunately, that sometimes is warranted. Because sometimes church is full of hypocrites, but you know what? If we're hypocrites, we're trying to do better, and we're saved by the grace of Jesus. Christians are not perfect. They're not one of you that are perfect. Now, there's some of you that are closer than others. I'm not going to tell you which you are, but you probably know. But none of us are perfect. But hopefully all of us are growing towards perfection. Hopefully all of us are growing towards Christ-likeness. Because perfection is not by, just written down and trying harder. That doesn't work. The only way we can grow in perfection or complete is by letting Christ reign in us more and more and more and more until He has absolute control over every area of our life. And so Jesus says, listen, disciples, it is important that you are real. As we've talked about, and we realize the importance of helping our church grow, we've got a lot of empty pews. Part of the empty pews are because they're taped off because we've got a distance. But even if they weren't roped off, there'd still be some empty pews. Well, we want to fill them up. But if we're inviting people to church and we're trying to preach the gospel and share the good news with people, but you're living like the devil out there in the world with your First Real Baptist Church t-shirt on, you're undoing all the good that the others are trying to do. We must walk authentically in authenticity. You know what? Let people see your faults. Let people see, you know what? You're a Christian, but you're not perfect. Because if they think you're perfect, they know they're not. But if you help them to see that God loves you despite your imperfections, you can help them to see that God loves them despite their imperfections. And so Jesus reminds us, be real. Remember that anything you say is liable to come back and bite you. Perfect example, if you don't tell a lie, you don't have to worry. Because, you know, if you tell a lie, you got to remember, number one, who you told it to and what lie you told to that person versus what lie you told to somebody else. And it doesn't just stop with that one lie. You've got to tell another lie to cover up that one lie that you told. And then you've got, and we all know, it gets into a big mess. It creates a mess. It's a whole lot easier. Just tell the truth. And let it lie where it might. It's always best to tell the truth. And not always in the short run, but in the long run, it's always best to tell the truth. And the fact of the matter is, the truth is going to come out sooner or later. Maybe not in this world. It might be in the next. You may think, you know what, you fooled mama and you fooled the preacher, but you didn't fool God. He knows. And the truth is, mama probably knows, too. And not much gets past mama. The second thing they do is he says, listen, you've got to not only be real and authentic, but you've got to walk with reverence. Jesus goes on and says, listen, don't fear these political leaders that think they can put you on trial and throw you in jail or kill you. Because once they kill you, they can't do anything else to you. And really, they're just helping you out because they're sending you to glory sooner. Jesus said, you be afraid of the one that can not only kill you, but send you to hell. So anyway, he doesn't mention God by name. It's implied. I think that's kind of interesting. But all the disciples knew exactly who he was talking about, just like we do. We ought to respect government. We ought to respect police officers. And in this world, you know, people are all kinds of crazy. And yes, you know, there's bad policemen. There's bad people in every profession. But you cannot loop all the group because of the actions of a bad few. And so we have to remember that, you know, we respect those in authority. We, you know, when the cop pulls us over, if we were speeding, even if we weren't speeding, but his lights go up, what do? If you're smart, you pull over. And you don't try to outrun him. You don't, no, president comes, whether it's our president now that you like or the last one that you like and you don't like this one, or whether you've never liked any of them, you still would hopefully be respectful of them because of the position that they hold, whether you voted for them or not. And by the way, Jesus says that we're to be in subjection to those that rule over us, and we're to hold them in respect, and we're to pray for them. Well, if we're supposed to have reverence for those in leadership and authority over us here on earth, how much more are we supposed to have reverence towards the Almighty? And so Jesus, you know what? He said, listen, you fear not the people of this world. You fear the Heavenly Father. And he's not talking about being afraid of them. A good father, you're not afraid of. A good father disciplines his children when they need discipline. But he also gives them love, and even the discipline that he gives, he does out of love. That's how Seth is still alive today. And I'm sure as he was, especially in his teenage, there were times Rodney wanted to strangle him or beat him till he was gone, or, you know, throw him out in the pool or toss him to the gators. But he also has love for his son. And so he disciplined him. He ain't told me about any stories. Don't worry, Seth. And Seth hadn't told me. But Seth's the kid. He's a human being just like all of us. I'm sure he did bad stuff. All of us have. And there were times when sweet little innocent Seth had to be punished. But he had a dad that loved him, and so he punished him in a way that was appropriate, and a way that he knew that he was loved even though he was being punished. And so Jesus said, you know what? You give reverence. You respect God. You know, children behave differently when parents are around than when there's no parents around. Why? Because they know their buddy is not going to tell on it, and their buddy's probably not going to ground them or spank them or put them on timeout or take away the TV or the phone or whatever. You know, that's the way to punish kids these days. Take away the internet and their phone, and they won't call DPS. Say, oh, this won't. And anyway, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, we punish, but their peers are not going to punish them. But when mom and dad are around, or an adult with some authority over, or grandpa especially probably, you know, grandma and grandpa thought me and my brother were the best behaved children on the planet Earth. Mom knew better. And we knew better. But we were much better behaved at grandma and grandpa's than we were when we were home. And so Jesus is making the point to us that we need to live our life remembering that God is always there. And God is watching. And God knows what we do. And he knows what we say. So don't dishonor him and don't disrespect him by what we say or what we do. And then he even goes on and he says, in that last verse we read, listen, God's going to, don't be afraid of what to say or what to do, because God, through the Holy Spirit, will show you what to say or what to do. And so be respectful. Have reverence toward God. Yet, when he talks about fear, he's not talking about being afraid, you know, cowering and, he's talking about having a reverential respect. Understanding that when someone has authority and they use that authority in the right way, if you do something wrong, you're not going to like the consequences. And he reminds us, he said, listen, the deeds you do in secret, they're going to come to light. And so he says, you remember that you are valuable to God. And that brings us to the last point this morning. We must walk with witness. He says, listen, you confess me before men. You let others know that I am your Lord. Don't be bashful about it. But now he's going to say, you live your life in such a way that they ought to know you belong to me without you even having to say that you belong to me. But then we do have to open our word. And he says, listen, whoever confesses me before men, the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me will be denied. And he's not talking about angel worship or that angels have some say in us getting into heaven or not. But where are the angels? The scripture says the angels surround the throne of God. And so if we're before the angels, guess where that means we are? There is great pride, and I've picked on poor Rodney and Sesta, but there's great pride when Rodney introduces his son. He says, this is my son, Seth. And he's proud of that. How it is when Jesus looks at us and says, yeah, he's one of mine. And when the Father says, just like he did to Jesus, yeah, this is my son, this is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. And so he says, listen, when people bring you to authorities or, you know, ask you questions about your life, you speak and give a word from God. Everywhere you go. He says, listen, you are valuable to God. You are special to Him. You are so special that He came and gave His life to pay your sin debt. But here's the thing. Those people that don't know the Lord, they're special to God too, because God made them. Even though they may, some of them even deny God exists, and they certainly don't have a relationship with Him or care anything about them, they still are precious and valuable because they're made in the image of God. But you know what? In our world today, so many people, especially so many young people, are sent messages, you're nothing special. You're not important. You're not valuable. And does that have an effect on society? Absolutely it does. But God's message to them is, you are special. You are valuable. But are they ever going to hear it from NPR? Are they going to hear it from self-help books? No, they're not going to find the answers there. Are they going to find money and success or job promotions or more money or bigger house? They're not going to find it there. The only place they're going to find it is in Christ. And the only way they're going to find Christ is if you and I share that message. If we say, you know what? You're special to me because you're special to God. And we show them that in the way that we treat them. and in the words that we speak, and in the things that we do. And so Jesus says to us, listen, it's not about drawing this great crowd. It's not about keeping all the right rules and achieving some kind of position. It's about knowing God and Him knowing you. You are special, not because of your value, not because of the things you do. You are special simply because you're a child of God. That's what gives you your worth. That's why Seth is alive. That's why all of us are alive. Why our parents didn't do us in during the terrible twos or the terrible threes. Or some of us never grew out of the terrible stages, and however old we are now, we're still in that terrible stage. But that family relationship and that's Rodney is a loving person, but he loves two people in ways that he doesn't love others. He loves his son and his daughter a lot more than other people's kids. And he does things for his children that he probably wouldn't do for other people's children. Why? Because they're not his. But those two are. Well, the truth of the matter is, we're all God's children. We are all made in the image of God. And God desires, Peter says, not that any would perish, but that everybody would come to repentance. We all know there are wayward children. Some of you have wayward children in your family. Some of you are the wayward children in your family. But parents, even of those wayward children, still love their children. And their greatest desire is for those children to get their life straightened out and get back in a relationship with their family and to do good and to be back on a healthy level, healthy relationship. That's what God's desire is for all of us. And if we're on that, if we had that relationship with God, that's great. And we are special because of that. But God also has a lot of wayward children out in this world that He wants to come home and be part of the family. And He has commissioned His children that are found to go out and get those that are still out in the world. So I hope God will challenge us with that this morning. Remember, you are special because you're a child of God. Let's pray again. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your love to us. Lord, thank You that You are a good, good Father that we can look to no matter what example, whether we had a good example on earth or a bad example, You are the good, good example. Lord, if there's one here today that doesn't know You and the free pardon of sin, would You help them today to call on You to receive that great gift, that offer of salvation? The offer to become part of the family of God by simply trusting in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Lord, maybe there's one of Your children here today that You've used this message to speak to them about their need to witness. Maybe there's some You've spoken today to the need to recommit their life to You and to walk before this world as a child of light. God, help us to remember we are special because we are Yours. But Lord, we interact with a lot of Your children who are lost, that don't know You. They don't know they're a child of the King because they've not trusted that free offer of salvation. God, would you help us to reach those people for Christ? Speak to our hearts now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.